Mr. Okada,
said the real Kritakana.
Are you down there?
Yes, I'm here.
How did that happen?
It's a long story.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you very well. Can you speak a little louder?
It's a long story,
I shouted.
I'll tell you about it after I get out of here. Right now, I can't speak very loudly.
Is this your rope ladder?
Yes, it is.
How did you manage to raise it from there? Did you throw it?
Of course not.
Why would I have done such a thing? How could I have done such a thing?
Of course not. Somebody pulled it up without telling me.
But that would make it impossible for you to get out.
Of course it would,
I said, as patiently as I could manage.
That's what happened. I can't get out of here. Can you do me a favor and let the ladder down? That way I can get out?
Yes, of course. I'll do it now.
Wait a minute. Before you let it down, can you make sure it's anchored to the base of the tree? Otherwise...
But she didn't respond. It seemed there was no one there anymore. I focused as hard as I could on the well mouth, but I couldn't see anyone. I took the torch from my sack and aimed it upward, but the light caught no human form. What it did reveal was the rope ladder hanging where it belonged, as if it had been there all the time. I let out a deep sigh, and as it left me, I felt a hard knot at the core of my body relax and melt away.
Hey there, Kritakana,
I shouted, but still there was no answer. The hands on my watch showed 1:07. 1:07 at night, of course. The stars twinkling overhead told me that much. I slipped my knapsack on my back, took one deep breath, and started up. The unstable rope ladder was difficult to climb. With each exertion, every muscle, every bone and joint in my body creaked and cried out. I took one careful step at a time, and soon there was a hint of warmth in the surrounding air. And then a distinct smell of grass. The cries of insects reached me now. I got my hands on the edge of the well curb, and with one last effort, pulled myself over, all but rolling onto the soft surface of the earth. That was it. I was above ground again. For a while, I simply lay there on my back, thinking of nothing. I looked up at the sky and sucked the air deep into my lungs over and over again. The thick, warmish air of a summer night filled with the fresh smell of life. I could smell the earth, smell the grass. The smell alone was enough to give my palms the soft sensation of touching the earth and the grass. I wanted to take them both in my hands and devour them. There were no longer any stars to be seen in the sky. Not one. The stars up there were visible only from the bottom of a well. All that hung in the sky was a nearly full, corpulent moon. How long I went on lying there, I had no idea. For a long time, all I did was listen to the beating of my heart. I felt that I could go on living forever, doing just that, listening to the beating of my heart. At last, though, I raised myself from the ground and surveyed my surroundings. No one was there. The garden stretched out into the night, with the statue of the bird staring off at the sky, as always. No lights shone inside Mei Kasahara's house. There was only one mercury lamp burning in her yard, casting its pale, expressionless light as far as the deserted alley. Where could Kritakana have disappeared to? In any case, the first thing to do was to go home. Go home, drink something, eat something, and take a nice, long shower. I probably stank something awful. I had to get rid of that smell before anything else. Then I had to fill my empty stomach. Everything else would come later. I followed the usual route back home, but to my eyes the alley looked different, unfamiliar.
Maybe because of the naked moonlight, signs of stagnation and putrefaction stood out with unusual intensity, and I could smell something like the rotting flesh of dead animals and the very definite stink of feces and urine.
In many of the houses, people were still up, talking or eating while they watched television.